June 24th, 2021. I feel like if you live in South Florida, or honestly, if you just own property anywhere near a coast, that date is just burned into your brain.
Yeah.
Champlain Tower South, Surfside.
Yeah. It changed everything. 98 lives lost in the middle of the night.
Which is still just hard to process.
It is. It was the deadliest structural failure in U.S. history outside of terrorism. But, you know, what's really fascinating and terrifying, honestly, is what happened after the cameras left.
Right, because usually a tragedy happens, we mourn, maybe a few regulations change, and then life kind of just goes on. But this wasn't just a tragedy, it was a reveal.
Exactly. It pulled the curtain back on a disaster that is still unfolding right now, silently, in thousands of other buildings.
And that is exactly what we are getting into today. Welcome to the deep dive. We are looking at this massive financial and structural crisis hitting the entire Tri-County area. So that's Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach.
And we have a hard deadline coming at us like a freight train. January worst, 2026.
Which is practically tomorrow in real estate time. So for you listening, we're exploring this today through the lens of some incredible market intelligence, legislative data, and specifically this proprietary database from a platform called Condoland. They've basically MRI'd the entire condo market in South Florida.
And the patient is in critical condition.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly, right?
Very mildly. The data we have here isn't just a list of buildings, it's an anatomy of a market failure. We're looking at records from Senate Bill 4D combined with intelligence on 2,400 distinct condo associations.
Which explains why, you know, your grandmother's affordable condo might suddenly cost her a fortune just to keep.
Right. So let's talk about that law first.
Yes.
Senate Bill 4D,
The regulatory hammer.
the hammer.
Yes.
Because usually government moves pretty slow.
Right.
No, not this time. They essentially said never again. SB 4D is the most aggressive structural inspection mandate we have ever seen in this country.
But to understand why it's such a shock to the system, we kind of have to look at the culture before 2021.
Oh, absolutely. For decades, condo boards played this really dangerous game. Every year, they'd sit down to do the budget, look at the reserves line item. So that's money for a new roof, painting, concrete repair, and they just vote to waive it.
Wait, they could just vote to not save money for repairs? Like, that was legal.
Completely legal.
Oh.
And they did it to keep the monthly HOA fees low. It was the ultimate kick the can down the road strategy. Everyone wanted cheap living today, assuming the crumbling concrete would be, you know, someone else's problem in 10 years.
Well, 10 years are up.
Exactly. SB 4D killed that culture overnight. It introduced two major things. First, milestone inspections for any building 3 stories or higher that's 30 years old.
Okay.
And if you're within 3 miles of the coast, which is basically everyone in South Florida, it's 25 years.
So inspectors are now legally required to go poke around in all these older buildings.
Right. They're looking for structural integrity. But the second part is the real financial killer. It's called SIRS, the Structural Integrity Reserve Studies.
SIRS.
The law now mandates that reserves must be actuarially sound, meaning you have to actually have the cash on hand to fix the building. And starting January 1st, 2026, you cannot waive those reserves anymore.
So the option to just say, hey, we'll pay for it later, that's gone forever.
Gone.
Which brings us to the data. Because if you've been deferring maintenance for 30 years and suddenly the law says pay up, that bill has to be astronomical. I mean, looking at the Condoland database here, the sheer volume of buildings and what they call the danger zone is wild.
It's the majority of the market. Out of the 2,400 buildings they track, which covers over 350,000 units, 77.4% are over 30 years old.
Almost 80%.
Yeah, that's 1,857 buildings that automatically trigger these new aggressive inspections.
That means practically every skyline in South Florida is under the microscope right now.
It's a massive systemic issue. And the epicenter of it all is the 1970s cohort. There are 658 buildings just from that decade alone. These towers are 50 plus years old. They have original concrete, original cast iron plumbing that's completely disintegrated, electrical systems from the Nixon administration. I mean, they were designed for a 40-year lifespan.
And they're 10 years past expiration.
They are literally living on borrowed time.
And geographically, I assume Miami has taken the brunt of this.
Miami-Dade has about half of these buildings, Broward has a third, and Palm Beach has the rest. But really, salt air doesn't care about county lines. The corrosion is everywhere.
Okay, so let's walk through how this actually plays out. The inspectors go in, they find cracks, they find rust. What happens next? Because I think this is where the average person gets completely blindsided. You own a condo, you pay your mortgage, you pay your $500 HOA fee, and then you get a letter.
Right. The dreaded special assessment. This is the financial shock. When the reserve account is empty because previous boards voted to waive it, the current owners have to pay for the repairs right now.
And how common is that right now?
Condolin found that nearly 31% of these buildings have already levied assessments.
And we aren't talking about a few hundred bucks for new pool furniture, right?
No, not at all. The average assessment is $71,586 per unit.
$71,000? That's, I mean, for a lot of people, that's their entire life savings.
And that's just the average. We are seeing assessments go up to $400,000 per unit.
Stop. $400,000, you could buy a whole house in Ohio for that. How does a repair bill for a condo you already own hit $400,000?
It's a perfect storm of inflation and neglect. First, construction costs in Florida are up 30 to 50% since 2019.
Sure.
But the real culprit is deferred maintenance math. If you ignore a $500,000 spalling repair on the exterior, water gets in. It rusts the rebar. The rebar expands and cracks more concrete. So 10 years later, it's not a $500,000 patch job. It's a $5 million full restoration because of scope creep. The phase two inspections always reveal damage far worse than phase one estimated.
It's exponential decay. You pay now or you pay 10 times as much later.
Precisely. Just look at the Cricket Club in North Miami, built in 1971. Big, beautiful building. But they faced concrete restoration and waterproofing failures. The bill. About $134,000 per unit.
I can't even imagine opening that envelope. Dear resident, please write a check for $134,000.
Or look at Mediterranean Village in Miami Beach. Luxury spot, right on the ocean. The assessment there was around $400,000 per unit. Or Crestview Towers. They were actually evacuated 8 days after Surfside because the building was structurally unsafe.
Oh, wow.
Their assessment was over $120,000 per unit just to make it habitable again.
This is the part that breaks my brain. Who has $120,000 just sitting in a checking account? I know there's money in Miami, but a lot of these owners are retirees, right? Teachers, civil servants who bought back in 1995.
That's the real human dilemma here. This isn't just hitting billionaires. It's hitting working class families and people on fixed incomes. And this creates what we call the trap.
The trap.
Break that down for me.
Imagine you're that retiree. You get a $134,000 assessment on a condo that's maybe worth $250,000. You don't have the cash, so your instinct is, okay, I'll sell the condo and move.
Right, just put it on the market.
But you can't.
Why not?
Because the building has a pending special assessment and likely failed inspections. It is deemed unmarketable. Banks will not write a new mortgage for a buyer on a unit in that building.
Oh, so no one can finance a purchase.
Exactly. Cash buyers will only touch it if they get a massive discount, basically subtracting the entire assessment from the price. So your equity is just evaporated, you can't pay the lump sum, and you can't sell. You're a prisoner in your own home. That is terrifying.
It is.
So the system is broken. The buildings are broken. The bank accounts are broken. But the reason we're doing this deep dive is because the source material points to a glimmer of a solution here. Condoland has this model emerging called common secured lending.
Right. It's a unique type of financial engineering born totally out of necessity.
Explain it to me. Because if I'm a bank and I see a building filled with retirees who can't pay a $134,000 bill, why on earth would I lend them millions of dollars? That sounds like a terrible bet.
That's what I thought at first, too. But the innovation here is shifting who the borrower actually is. In the old world, every owner had to fend for themselves. Go get a AELOC, raid your 401k, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Under this new model, the loan is made to the condo association as a corporate entity.
Oh, interesting. So the building itself borrows the $5 to $15 million to fix the roof.
Correct. The association borrows the money. They get the cash up front to do the construction, which is crucial because you cannot delay these safety repairs.
Okay, but the association is just a group of owners. They still have to pay it back. How does this help the grandmother who has no cash?
Because it converts that $134,000 lump sum, which is basically a bankruptcy event for her, into a monthly payment spread out over 10 to 15 years. It just becomes a line item on the HOA bill.
Oh, I see. So instead of needing the cash by Tuesday, her monthly fee goes up by, what are we talking?
The data shows it's usually a monthly increase of between $500 and $1,200.
I mean, that's still a significant hit. An extra grand a month is painful.
It's painful, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's the difference between tightening your belt and being evicted. It turns an impossible capital call into a manageable monthly utility bill.
Okay, I totally get why the residents want it. It saves their homes. But I want to go back to the lender side for a second. You mentioned earlier this investment thesis. I'm looking at the notes on Florida Statute 718.116. This is the aha moment for the money guys, right?
This is the secret sauce. If you're an investor, you aren't lending based on the credit score of the grandmother in Unit 4B. You are lending based on the collateral framework and statutory power of the condo association.
Statutory power sounds intense. What does 718.116 actually do?
It creates a super lien.
A super lien. That definitely sounds like a comic book villain weapon. What is that?
In real estate, lien priority is everything. Usually the first mortgage, the bank that lent you the money to buy the condo, is first in line to get paid if you go broke and the place gets foreclosed. But Florida law gives the condo association a priority claim on unpaid assessments that actually jumps ahead of the first mortgage for up to 12 months of past due assessments.
Wait, so if I lend money to the association and the association assesses the owner to pay me back, that debt is effectively senior to their actual mortgage?
In practice, yes. It puts the association in an incredibly powerful position to collect. And the law has teeth. If an owner decides not to pay that new $500 monthly fee, the interest on that debt accumulates automatically at a statutory rate of 18%.
18%. That's credit card territory.
It's punitive by design. It forces compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, collection rates on these assessments are incredibly high, usually between 93 and 98%. Plus, the association has the right to foreclose, just like a bank.
Wow.
But here's the ultimate backstop, and this is the part that investors love. Joint and several liability.
Break that down.
It means the debt follows the unit, not the person. Let's say an owner throws their hands up, refuses to pay, and walks away. Or they sell the unit for pennies, the new buyer. They are legally on the hook for every cent of the unpaid assessments. You cannot wash the title clean of this debt.
So the lender, the person funding this massive repair, they almost can't lose.
The safety profile is wild. Yeah. Think about loan to value or LTV.
Mm.
In normal commercial real estate, a safe loan is maybe 65 to 80% of the building's value. In these condolent deals, the loans are typically 20 to 52% LTV. Because you might have an $8 to $12 million loan, but it's backed by the land and the total property value, which might be $23 to $40 million.
Because even if the building is crumbling, the dirt it sits on, especially near the ocean, is gold.
Exactly. The collateral coverage is massive. It's why you have private credit looking at this and seeing a 6.9 to 7.8% net yield with a safety profile that looks incredible.
It's fascinating because it feels like a weird symbiotic relationship. You have these investors making high yields, but they are technically the only ones keeping these buildings from going under.
It's the moral dimension of the whole thing. It's a balance between capitalizing on a crisis and solving it. Yes, they get high yields, but they're also preventing grandmothers from being evicted by converting unpayable lump sums into manageable payments.
Now, Condoland isn't just handing out cash blindly. We touched on their tech earlier, but I want to dig into this risk scoring they do. I'm looking at their interactive map, and it's color-coded. Green, yellow, orange, red. What are we seeing across South Florida right now?
We are seeing a sea of red. They score every building 0 to 10. They deep link into government records to look at age, overdue inspections, critically low reserves, permit history, violations.
And what's the verdict?
The scary stat is that 61.2% of all buildings score high or very high risk.
Over 60%. That is staggering. If I'm a buyer, that map is basically a do not buy list.
It changes the due diligence game completely. It used to be you walked in, looked at the view, checked out the kitchen counters, and made an offer. Now, if you aren't checking the reserve score, you're crazy.
What's the average reserve score?
The average reserve score is 7.5 out of 10. And on their scorecard, high is bad. It confirms that the vast majority of buildings are highly underfunded.
It's like buying a used car, but you have an X-ray machine that shows the engine is about to explode.
Exactly.
So looking forward, zooming out a bit, we have all these buildings that need work. We have this hard January 1, 2026 deadline. What is the total market opportunity here? Or, well, the total repair tab.
The estimated repair costs just for the Tri-County area are $13.9
billion. $14
billion.
That is a massive chunk of money just to keep the roofs from caving in.
It's an entire industry being born. Even a conservative slice of this lending market is worth billions. And the regulatory tailwinds are huge because this isn't just Florida anymore.
Is it spreading to other states?
Oh, yeah. Florida is just the canary in the coal mine. Over 8 other states, New Jersey, California, New York, they are all looking at similar laws. As the U.S. housing stock ages, this mandatory reserve concept is going to go national.
Wow.
The days of laissez-faire maintenance are over.
And the consequences if these buildings don't use a solution like this? Like, what if they just fail to comply?
Insurance cancellation. That is the first domino. If you don't comply with SB4D, the carriers will drop you. Once you lose insurance, the mortgages go into default. Then the city steps in and condemns the structure. It leads to total owner flight.
So really, this common secured lending, despite the interest rates in the Superlands, it's the only lifeboat left.
It is.
It's just a perfect storm. You've got aging buildings plus these new aggressive laws creating a financial crisis, but also this massive innovation opportunity.
Absolutely. It's a tough transition, but a necessary one for safety.
It really makes you think, though. For you listening, with maintenance now mandated by law and construction costs always rising, you have to wonder, is the era of affordable condo living just ending? Or are we going to see a future where individual ownership fades out entirely and these buildings just get bought up by massive corporations and turned into strictly regulated, expensive rentals? Because if regular people can't afford the upkeep, someone with deep pockets is going to step in. It's definitely something to mull over if you're looking at the real estate market right now.
It's a very real possibility. The landscape is shifting fast.
Well, we'll keep watching that 2026 deadline. Thanks for unpacking all this data with me today.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Go check your building's reserve study. Seriously, we'll catch you next time.